God's word with you, some scriptures that have really, really meant a lot to me in my life. And we're going to do another song here in just a minute, because this song is going to wrap up what we're talking about this morning. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 27. You see, my favorite verse in all of the Bible, because this is one that speaks to my heart, is Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when we were so rotten and unloving and unlovable, God sent his only son to die on the cross for us. You need to understand today that no matter where you're at in your life, or where you've gone, or where you've been, you know, how long you've been away from the Lord, God loves you. Amen. And he always made a way for you to come back to him, because God loves sinners. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. And you see, I'm not going to heaven this morning because I'm a good person. You see, Romans tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of your works, it's the gift of God. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. You see, if you tell people today about Jesus Christ, and they'll say, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. I hear that a lot. Well, there's a problem with that. There's no such thing as a good person. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a good dad or mom, a good child, or a good employee, or a good neighbor. It just means you can't do good enough to go to heaven. And if you could get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ, then Jesus came for nothing. But he said, I am the way. You realize Jesus is not a way. He's not the best way. He's the only way to heaven. You know, he came in the form of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. You know, he didn't have to do that. Sometimes people say, well, I don't believe a loving God. Well, let me tell you what a loving God did for you. Because God created man and put him in a perfect environment, and he turned his back on God. And you know, God could have walked away. He could have said, I'm done. I'm done with this race, you know, because he still had the angels. He still had the seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy. But he loved man so much that he said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to provide a way. And that's what a loving God did for you and for me. He sent his only son because he so loved the world. Wow. I still can't wrap my head around that. Sometimes people say, you explain God's love to me. I cannot. Because, see, we have a different kind of love. We love until we get hurt. Until somebody takes us off of Facebook, you know. Till somebody makes us angry. Till somebody is unloyal. You know, our love changes. You know why? Because it's based on conditions. And that's why they call it conditional love. But God's love's not like that. I grew up in a preacher's home. I know what it's like to be a good person. And I tell people this, you know, I've never had a drink of alcohol my entire life. I've never done drugs. I did smoke one of my granddaddy's cigarettes one time, but I didn't inhale. That doesn't make me a good person, because we all got this same problem called sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Everything, everybody, everyone means everyone. Amen. If you're not saved today, you need to be saved. Not because I say so, but because Jesus said he's the door. And if you want to go to heaven, you want to see God and spend eternity there, you got to go through the door. And his name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Here's how you get saved. You admit your condition before God. I'm a sinner. You believe that he is the Son of God. Now, he came to live his life here on this earth and give his life a ransom on the cross of Calvary. You believe that. And then you call upon the name of the Lord. Say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Save my soul. Come in my heart. I turn my back on my past. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. We call that repentance. Amen. I was preaching down in a little church around Savannah, I think. I preached this message, and a lady stood up right over here, right at the invitation time, and she said, it can't be that easy. She had a different background. She came from another religion. She said, it can't be that easy. It is that easy. Admit your condition, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, call upon his name. And the Bible said he'll come and he'll save you. He'll give you eternal life and a home in heaven. You know why that's easy? Because somebody did the hard part for you. You call on him today. Sitting where you're at today, or down at this altar, or by your bed, you call upon the name of the Lord. He'll give you eternal life. Amen. Save your soul. But there might be some Christian here today. You see, this is my life's verse. See, I got my favorite verse, but this is my life's verse. I was one of those kids that grew up, man, I was the clumsiest, most awkward kid you ever saw. My dad used to tell me, he said, man, you got four left feet. Always stumbling around, falling around, breaking everything. He said, you'd drown in a drop of water. That was me. I was the ugly duckling. Man, I was as wide as I was tall. Somebody said, man, I was so big when I was a kid, somebody said, you may as well just jump over him because it's easier than going around him, amen, yeah. That's me. And I just thought, you know, I'm just this big nobody. And I'm glad God saved me at an early age. And I knew he was my Savior, but I didn't know how God could use me in my life. I want you to read this verse with me, verse number 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Look at verse 29. This tells you why. That no flesh should glory in his presence. When I caught a hold of that verse one day, I rejoiced because, see, God put my name there twice. Foolish and weak. We should all go out of here rejoicing today that no matter where you're at in your life, your background, what your abilities or inabilities are, we should all go out of here today rejoicing that God can use me. Amen. Even me. It says that he's chosen the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world. You see, God gifts all of his children. And he does it for the same reason. Another great Corinthians verse says this, the manifestations of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all. What are you going to give the Lord this year? You say, man, I've already given him my soul. I've been saved. But have you given him your life? Have you said, Lord, here's my whole life, my whole being. I want you to take it and I want you to use it in some way. Have you ever done that? Have you just laid your life on the altar and said, here it is, such as it is. I'm nothing. But you see, God specializes in taking the nobodies of the world. He specializes in taking the natural things and making them supernatural. He takes the ordinary and he makes it extraordinary. You know why? He seeks out the little guy, the insignificance of nobodies. Well, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, because it truly is a God thing. If anything comes out of our lives, it is a God thing. The Bible says in the church, some are the hands, some are the feet, some are the eyes, some are the ears. We've all got a part. Don't ever think that you're not important in the church, because when the hand is not there, the body misses it. When the foot or the leg is not there, the body's a little bit handicapped. Just think how we could be if we all pulled together. If we all showed up at the same time. If we all committed to the same thing at the same time. Imagine what God could do with our church. You see, everybody's got a part. I live in Missouri, as I said earlier in Sunday school, but I grew up down south, and I learned real quick that we Southerners know how to eat. In fact, our favorite saying, the Baptist Church, you know, our favorite saying is, God bless you till we eat again. Have you ever noticed with us, everything centers around food? Everything. You want to get together? Well, we got to eat. You want to have a church? You got to eat. I remember we went to a church one time, and they was going to have food afterwards, and they said the advertiser is going to be a casserole dinner. And they took us in there, and they started uncovering all those casserole dishes, and everything, every dish was the same thing. I'll never forget it. It was green bean casserole. And I like green bean casserole. But thank God for the people who bring some chicken. They said, Brother Ronnie, we want you to go first. So they put me in that line. And I got me some green bean casserole. And I got me some green bean casserole. And I got me some. When I got down to the end of the way, I had a plate full of green bean casserole. Thank God for the people who bring some fried okra. Amen. So those homegrown tomatoes. Those people that make the pecan pies. Amen. And the sweet tea and the coffee. You see, when you get down to the end of the line, you know, you've got a well-rounded plate there. And it's good. It's good. That's the way it is in the church. You see, everybody brings something different to the table. You realize we're gifted differently for a purpose? You see, it's by divine design that we're all different. Because when we all get together, it completes. It's God's completion. And the church can function at its highest level when we all just let God take control of our lives. And you say, oh, but you don't understand. I don't play instruments. I don't sing. I don't preach. I don't teach. There's just nothing really for me to get plugged into. Au contraire. There's so many things in the church. And you know, out of all these years in ministry, 29 years now, I traveled with my dad for 15 years. I've been in ministry a lot. And I've met a lot of preachers. And I have never yet met a preacher that said, we got too many workers. I've never met that guy. Because, you know, the Lord's work is big. And if we're doing our part, it's growing. It's ever growing. And so don't ever think that you're not needed. Don't ever think you're not missed. Because God has you here for a reason. Now, God gave me, I think, one of the best visual aids that he could ever give anybody. Because I play some really, really weird instruments. This is my keyboard. This is where I do a lot of my programming. This is my baby here. This is a $4,000 instrument. But this little instrument right here, this is called a tin whistle or a penny whistle. This is a Celtic instrument. If you've heard Irish Celtic music, you've heard this simple little instrument. It's a piece of rolled tin. You can order this delivered to your front door for $14. You see, you don't have to be the $4,000 instrument for God to use. There are people who tell me this is their favorite instrument, the $14 instrument. That's the way it is in our lives. Just be what God made you to be. Don't try to do somebody else's gift or somebody else's call. It's your call, and it's your gift, and God's given it to you for a reason. I love the harmonicas. These are $40 instruments. Not a lot of money for an instrument. This thing right here is crazy, this melodica. This right here, it's a plastic toy, basically. $99. It's a toy. Isn't it amazing the things that God can use, though? He can do some pretty cool stuff with this. We've sold a lot of these, put our recommendations in, parents looking for gifts to get their kids. They want to learn to play. I'm all about kids learning to play. You know why? Because I want to see them grow up and play in church. I want to see kids play Jesus music, amen? Not worldly music. God didn't give you your gifts to go play somewhere else. He gives them so that he can get the glory, amen? I'm death on that. Boy, I tell you, I grew up in music. I've seen so many people say, oh, I'm going to go over here. God's given me this talent. I'm going to go over here and play in the bar for a while. Mm-mm. I can tell you, God ain't in that. He ain't in that. You know how I know that? Because God's not going to be in anything that takes you away from him. And those things do. the craziest thing I've ever done. I had an evangelist friend. His name was Tommy Stone, and he played a really, really strange thing. He played a handsaw. And the first time I ever heard him play it, I laughed. I did. It was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's gospel music gone sci-fi. You know, it's just weird. And if you've never heard somebody play the saw, you just buckle your seatbelts because this is going to be wild. But Tommy wanted me to play the saw. He was getting older, and he said, I want you to play the saw. And I said, mm-mm. I said, I laugh at you every time you play because it's just so funny. He passed away, went home to be with the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Lord started messing with me about this thing. And long story short, I bought a saw about 10 years ago, and I've been trying to play it ever since. It has been the best thing I've ever done. Now, it's a love-hate relationship. You're going to love this or you're going to hate it. There's no in-between. But God chooses the foolish things of the world. We got invited to go to a prison north of Houston. And you know what got us there? Craziest story. Somebody bought one of our CDs. We didn't know he was a chaplain of a prison. He took that CD back, and on that CD was I was playing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, on my handsaw. He's playing that CD for those inmates. And they heard it, and they asked the chaplain, said, what in tarnation is that? He said, it's a handsaw. And they said, we got to see that. So then began the process of talking to the warden. The warden called me one day, and he said, our men want you to come and play. I want you to play your instruments. He said, I want you to play that handsaw. And he said, now, I've got a question. Is that a real saw? And I said, yes, sir. He said, does it have teeth on it? I said, yes, sir, it does. It's a saw. He said, we can't allow that in our prison. I said, I understand. A few months later, he called me back and he said, Mr. Warren, warden here, he said, we're going to do something we've never done before. Because you see the issue, right? Prison, blade, big blade. He said, we're going to do something we've never done before. He said, my men are driving me crazy. He said, we want to come. We, the Wallace Pack Prison Unit, we're extending an invitation for you to come and play. And he said, you got to bring that saw. Got to bring that saw. And we went, man, we played. I played all the instruments I knew to play, and I saved that song to last. You see, the biggest crowd they ever had for a chapel service was 20. And that night, over 200 came out. I looked in the back. There was the warden standing against the back wall. He never comes to anything. The guards had come in. They wanted to hear the Missouri guy play a saw. And I started playing that thing. And I mean, those men came unhinged. I thought it was the coolest thing they ever saw. And I stepped back over here. They gave me a standing ovation. You just couldn't hardly get them to sit down. I never seen anything like it. So I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. He wants to make something out of your life. And if God can do that with a saw, what can he do with your life? And boy, it just became so real to me that God chooses the foolish things. And God chooses the weak things, the nobodies, the insignificance of the world. I know this today. God wants to save you, and God wants to use you. No matter where you're at in your life. No matter how incapable you may feel. I want to play this song for you. It's one I put together. It's a medley. And I took the cheapest instruments that I have up here. And I call this the Resurrection Medley. It's brand new for me. I'm going to play I'll Rise Again by Dallas Holm on the $99 melodica. Then I'm going to play Up From the Grave He Arose on the $14 whistle. Then I'm going to slip over here and try to play Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow on the saw. And this is what I want you to take away from this today. If God can use us all, if he can use you in your life today, buckle your seatbelts. You're going to love it or hate it. But here's the deal. You never forget it. Amen. Thank you. Go get your saw and try that. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I wonder what Bill Gaither would say if he heard me play that on a saw. He would say, "Oh no, what have you done to my song?" Amen. Let God use you in your life. Mary Lou, come help me sing a song. Now, maybe you don't know today if you're saved. We can help you with that. I'm so glad that 1 John tells us, "These things have I written unto the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Hope you can say you know him. Hope you can say that God's using in your life. I want to tell you this story real quick, and this will be a blessing to you, I promise. Some 40 years ago, I was singing in a little church in Effingham, Illinois. It was a pastor's meeting. There was over 100 pastors there, and they had invited another young man to sing that night. He was very, very talented. I was so glad I sang first. He and I became good friends for a few years, and he said to me one time, he said, "You know, I love to sing." He said, "But my greatest desire is to be a songwriter." Now, songwriting's a gift, just like playing, just like singing, just like preaching, and the other gifts that we talked about. He said, "There's a seminar going on next year." He said, "We got a group of us going." He said, "Would you like to go?" He said, "All the big names in gospel music will be there. They're going to be teaching this seminar on how to write songs and how to do all these things." And so we signed up and we went to Estes Park, Colorado. And I mean, everybody was there that was in gospel music at the time. Dallas Holm was there and he was singing "I'll Rise Again." And Sandy Patty was there and she was singing "How Majestic Is Your Name." Steve Green was there. His hit song was "People Need the Lord." The Florida Boys were there and they were singing "When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind." It was huge. So during the day, they would do all these songwriting classes. And man, I had a big notebook and they were yellow back then, about that big. And I was taking all these notes because I wanted to learn how to write gospel music. And my friend and his friends were all taking notes. And we sat under Gaither and Lanny Wolf and some of the biggest writers of the day. But the last day we were there, we walked in this little room. And sitting right in front of our table was a lady. I recognized her instantly because I grew up with her records in our home. My dad was a huge Rambos fan, and it was Dottie Rambo. Now, she wrote those songs, "Build My Mansion Next Door to Jesus, If That Isn't Love," "Sheltered in the Arms of God, I Go to the Rock, We Shall Behold Him, Tears Will Never Stain." Over 2,500 songs she wrote, and they were all hits. She was going to teach our class that day. But the first thing she said was, "God inspires our songs." She said, "But God gives the gift of songwriting." That didn't mean anything to me at the time. I just took those notes. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I know how to write a gospel song. I know the rules. I can tell you when one's well written and when one's not. But I'm not a songwriter. I wanted to be. I prayed for it. But God didn't give me the gift. Do you realize we don't get to pick our gifts? You can't be anything you want to be. We need to quit spreading that lie around. What we can be is what God made us to be. What he gifted us to do. That's what we can do. And we need to do it with all our ability and try to do it well. But you can't just pick your gifts out of the air. I wanted to be a basketball player when I was a kid. Man, I shot hoops and God didn't give me that ability. Here's the irony of the story. I'm sitting in front of the greatest songwriter of my day, Dottie Rambo. And this young man that was sitting next to me was a young Mark Lowry. And Mark, as you know, would go on to write Mary, Did You Know? The song that has become a Christmas classic. How many of you heard that song during the holidays? Every choir, every cantata, every genre of music has recorded Mark's song. I was sitting next to the guy who would write that. And you know what? Every Christmas when I turn on my radio and I hear that song, I think to myself, I took the same notes he did. I sat in the same class he did. I paid my fees just like he did. But God gave him that gift. Even though I wanted it, God didn't see fit to give it to me. But you know what? That's okay. I don't think Mark can play a saw either. As long as God is glorified, and as long as people come to know Him, it's okay. You may not ever sing to the masses or have a huge exposure or be on anybody's who's who list. I want to be on God's list. It's more important what God thinks of us than what the world thinks of us. Bloom where you're planted. Do what God gave you to do. I want to sing this song for an invitation. I told you I knew a good lyric. Because that verse I had you read, it says this: but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. But those first four words, but God hath chosen. He's chosen your gift and your ability. And He wants you to be saved today if you don't know Him. But He's got a will and a plan for your life. If God can use a saw, if He can use a $14 instrument, if He can use that little lad with the five stones, amen, that's what God specializes in. Have thine own way, Lord. Catch that. See, that's a good lyric. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Now here's a line that speaks to my heart. Mold me and make me after thy will. We just got to get out of the way of God. It's His will. Do you need to come today and give God your life? I'm saved, Brother Ryan. I come every time the church doors open. But have you given God your life? Is there something in your life that God's speaking to you about and you say, I ain't going to do that. I want to do that over there. See, you want somebody else's gift. I don't want to do that. Well, we got this. Pastor gets up and says, well, we got this knee. But I don't want to do that. I want to do this one over here. You step up. And God will get His hands on you. Amen. You get God's fingerprints on you, man. It's amazing what can happen to your life. Don't be afraid to let go and let God. Would you stand with us this morning quickly and quietly? This is a song that everybody knows.